Another week, another new set of challenges, and there's a lot in Houston. The big thing for them offensively, they made the change of quarterback. It's kind of uncharted waters for us, facing a guy that's been in the league but hasn't really played, hasn't started before. So there's a lot of mystery there. We have minimal tape on him, but we obviously know he has a big arm. Came up in the New England system, so he's well versed. He's going against our system twice a year. At least he's preparing as a backup, so that's to his advantage. The success they've had on the ground is something that we're very well aware of. Agarian Foster is one of the elite backs in this league. He's a three down back. He's averaging over 5 yards a carry. It's a big part of their pass game. Has made some explosive plays for him, obviously on the ground and receiving as well. And that'll be a big test for us. We all know we've had our struggles. I think we've cleaned up some things. We're headed in the right direction as of late. But I think this will be one of the biggest challenges for us as far as run defense. On the other side of the ball, they're very good at taking the ball away. I believe they lead the league in takeaways. And when they've had their success, that's been a big part of it. So we have to continue to protect the ball as we have been. And then we obviously have to be aware of where J.J. Watt is. That he's a difference maker. He can change a game, whether it's tipping a pass, whether it's a tackle for loss, a sack, stripping a quarterback. That he's high effort, high motor, very productive, very instinctive. It looks like he guesses a lot, but you can tell that his guesses are educated. We know he studies film, picks up a lot of the little graduate level details, and uses them to his advantage. But it's not just him on defense. I think they play with high effort, high energy. They're very dialed in. They attack you, and they present a lot of problems. So it's a big challenge for us offensively to be able to move the ball and score points. We're pleased with how we came back from the break, as evidenced by yesterday's practice. The guys came back focused and fresh and ready to go. But this is it's a big challenge for us, but we're very much looking forward to it. Cameron, maybe. I'm not sure where. I think it's too early for Gip. It'll be a tight window, and we haven't ruled Gip out yet. But he's in the protocol. And we'll always adhere to that very, very strictly. We'll see how the week finishes. Probably more insight on the system. I haven't been with O'Brien. It's something that haven't gone against it twice a year. That we gather a lot of information on it when Jimmy and I were in New York and again in Buffalo. So essentially in that division. For a long time, and I know he was there for a good length of time. So I think it was more information on the system than necessarily on Mallett. It's hard to because he hasn't played. I mean, that's the reps have been limited. A lot of it was preseason tape, so that's difficult. It's obvious that Brian has used that training and uses that to help him prepare and immerse himself into a game plan and how he handles it the week and how he goes into the weekend. And you would assume that the time that Mallett was with Brady that rubbed off as well. I think it's just what I've talked about all along, that the ability to go week to week, to compartmentalize. And for me, the big thing too is I think a lot, so maybe some first year head coaches or young head coaches try to do too much. And I think if you feel confident in the people you've hired and the players you've acquired, that you don't have to micromanage, that you can still get your point across and get things cleaned up and get them adjusted. But you got to let your coaches coach and to some extent let your players play, give them some freedom within the system. So that's, to me, the biggest lesson I learned, and I was fortunate to already kind of have a heads up on it going in, was don't try to do everything right away. Is that if there are issues, that either correct them over time or wait till the right time to do it? No, I mean, this is it's very much so a what have you done lately business. We are, I mean, we go from the high of the Pittsburgh game to the low of Jacksonville, and I think the day you think that you have the answers or you got it all figured out is you're very close to being humbled. So, I mean, it's a challenge week to week, and each week is a fresh set, and you're judged on that as you go. And I'll have a lot more time when the season's over to sit down and go back and say, you know, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? What do we need to change moving forward? Well, we have a couple options if Nick can't go. We know we have Greco to slide over if we had to, but also Ryan Seymour has taken the reps with Nick while he's not practicing. We'll know better today. I mean, it's still, I mean, today's only, we had the benefit of the, didn't want to put him out there on the extra day, give him an extra day to recover from it. So we'll see where he is today. I mean, he's logged enough practice and game reps that we could, it might be better off to rest him early in the week and get him make sure he's getting the mental reps, but rest him later on. But we'll know. I think that'll all clean itself up as the week goes on. He's very unique because it's just that blend of size, speed, character, work ethic, that it's rare that somebody has it all. And you look for a weakness, and it's hard to find one. It's that, you know, it's that he plays so hard that sometimes you can see he's they either substitute for him or that he burns himself out. But to me, that's a compliment that he plays as hard as he does. So it's you look, and that is unique when you kind of go down the list of ideal characteristics at a certain position, and you can check off every one with him. No, they're smart. They do a good job of moving around. So a lot of times you can. If there's a premier defender and they leave him in the same spot all the time, then you can game plan for that a little bit easier, setting your formation one way or another, or where you're going to send your help. But if the guy's moving around, it does make it more difficult. And he'll play outside in the 3-4 at end, and then he'll kick down inside in the nickel package. But sometimes he'll be down over the center. Sometimes he'll be at the guard, and then even sometimes in a pass rush situation, they'll leave him outside. So. Something that our guys have to be aware of where he is and understand the skill set and what he brings. It would. Those two would share. It would really depend on the personnel groupings. We do have the one personnel grouping where we had three safeties out there, so certainly Jordan would step into that role. But we'll be prepared to go either way. I very much on record is I think he's done a tremendous job. I think if you looked at the talent that we have available offensively, whether it's due to whatever the circumstances are, and then couple it with the injuries that we've had, I think he and the rest of the offensive staff have done an outstanding job of realizing, A, you can't win with players you don't have, so this is what we have and what can we do. And I think it all started with the commitment to run. I think when you run the football, you shorten the game, you set up your play action, protect your quarterback, you stay ahead of the sticks, and some coordinators say they're committed to the run, and then when the game goes a certain way, it disappears. And I think he is the exact opposite. I always thought that his system, even before I made the hire, was very quarterback friendly. Passes on the move, the commitment to the run to stay out of longer yardages, and then the play action, which obviously is a lot easier to throw when you have a tendency to get guys more wide open when the play pass is effective, and I think he's good at game planning. A lot of times our offense looks very similar week to week, but there are more than subtle variations based on the opponent, and I think he's one of the best in the business at game planning and then also in-game adjustments. I thought our guys in certain games have done a nice job of coming in at halftime and, you know, crossing some things off the list and adding some things to it, making some adjustments and having success in the second half. Well, I think it's the mental part of it for sure. The preparation. How does he see a defense? What are the weaknesses of a defense? I think to be a great offensive player, especially a quarterback, is you have to know defensive football. And I think that's the one thing where they train their guys in New England. If you want to be great on offense, you got to be well versed in what the enemy is doing. And I think there's some coaches on offense or some offensive systems that miss out on that. But I think that that he's the best at it, understanding defenses, and I just think all the graduate level details that go into playing quarterback, I think Brady has them all, and to me if you're his backup, you can't help but pick him up.
Yeah, I think
leadership is inherent with the position, and you don't want to see guys force it and come out of character, come out, you know, and not be true to their personality. And I think Brian's done a good job of that. And whether it's getting the message through the media, or he's not shy to get the message in the huddle, he's not shy to get the message in the meeting room, or in the locker room. But he also does it in a way that's not disrespectful, it's not demeaning. And he's also, when he hasn't played well, that he's been the first to admit it. And I think that humility has gone a long way with the rest of the group as well.
Well, I just know that he was a big part of New England's success, and we had some real battles with him when I was in New York, and he's very close with Doug Marrone, so got to kind of learn the New England perspective, some of that through Doug the year I spent in Buffalo. No, but I mean he's an outstanding coach. It was, you know, I thought what he did at Penn State was tremendous, and then you can tell, I mean, the players have bought in Houston. They've had some close games where they didn't end up on the correct end, but that they're definitely headed in the right direction. And a lot of that you can tell when you look at the effort of their players, how hard they play.
Well, I think the couple days off after Cincinnati helped us hit the pause button a little bit and enjoy it and just kind of get it. It's hard to have the perspective that our fans do, just having not been here and not experienced it and not gone through what it's been like to be a Browns fan. But as a team, as an organization, I think we understand it and it's encouraging, but at the same time, as I said yesterday, there's no award for anything we've done so far. The only thing we've earned the right is to play meaningful games in November and December, but that can't change how we handle ourselves. So we know what's out there. We don't want to ignore it, but at the same time, understand why we got to 6-3, and that can't change moving forward.
Well, Ben's a competitor, and it's why I don't think it's good practice to kind of air how you feel publicly. But it's understandable. I think if you sat with every player and said, "What's your agenda? What's your goal? How do you think your playing time should be handled? What do you see your role as?" We're not going to bat 1,000. There are going to be times where we have to choose what, as a staff, what we feel is best for the team over what's best, what the individual feels is best for him. And I just think this is an example of that. I mean, Ben's a guy that wants the ball, wants to be out there, wants to be the guy, and so it's understandable when we started Terrence over him and had the results that we had.